This is In the Zone with Ian Robb and Dancing Pete Rota. One's a mental toughness coach who also helps riders with recovery. The other, a horseman with soul, who is also a marriage counselor for the rider and horses. Together, they dive beyond ribbons and rankings to where real riders train, the mind. From elite arenas to quiet barns, this show is about the mental edge, the recovery rhythm, and the heart that keeps you in sync with your horse and yourself. So whether you're tuning in from the tack room or the open road, saddle up. You're in the zone now.
Welcome back to In the Zone, where we talk with athletes, performers, and high achievers who live life on the edge of greatness. I'm Ian Robb, joined as always by my co-host, the one and only Dancing Pete Rota.
Today's guest is someone who definitely knows what it means to chase excellence. She's a world champion, an Olympic medalist at speed skating, and proud Ocala native. Now gearing up for her final lap at the 2026 Olympics in Milan, the incredible Brittany Bowe.
Woo-hoo! Brittany has been an inspiration on and off the ice, showing what faith, focus, and resilience can do. And today we're diving into her journey, what it takes to stay in the zone at the top of the world, and how we can all learn from her mindset heading into this final race for the gold.
Let's lace up and hit the ice. Brittany, welcome to In the Zone.
Thank you. That's quite the intro. I need you two to be like my all-time hype men.
There you go.
We can do it.
We might need to do that. We may record that so you play it right before you.
Yeah, I like that.
Go to practice. What do you think?
I like that.
So before we get started, and you got to understand, because we're on Equus Network Radio and TV, not all those horse people here in Ocala around the world, or people that want to listen to us two characters and a podcast, know who Brittany Bowe is. So why don't you give a little bit more of a background about who you are, what you've been doing since you were growing up, and how did you transfer from one sport to another?
For sure. Yeah. Like you said, a proud Ocala native, played almost every sport under the sun, minus ice skating. Grew up playing volleyball, baseball, soccer, basketball, and inline skating. And my first love was definitely basketball. My dad was a high school basketball coach. And so I was always with him and his team dribbling. And then my mom was a cheerleading coach at what is now the College of Central Florida. So during the halftime of those basketball games, I would take it upon myself to go out there and be the halftime entertainment. Played basketball growing up. And then when I was, say, 8 years old, I just went to a friend's birthday party at the local skating rink in Ocala at Skate Mania. And the inline skating coach, which at the time I didn't even know inline skating was a sport, but she saw me, you know, zipping around having fun. And she came up to myself and my parents and told me a little bit about the sport and invited me out to a practice. So I got myself some inline skates and went out to a practice. And very quickly, I realized I found my need for speed. So all throughout, you know, fast forwarding a little bit throughout high school, competed around the world, world championships, Pan American games for inline speed skating, and was also playing basketball. And one of my dreams growing up was always to play Division I basketball. So as I approached or was at my graduating year from Trinity Catholic senior year, I was offered a full Division I basketball scholarship to Florida Atlantic University. And I definitely jumped at that opportunity and played 4 years of college basketball, had a lot of really great success. Fast forward again, 2010, my graduating year of college. At this time, I'm all in on basketball. I wanted to go play basketball overseas with the hopes of landing in the WNBA. But at the same time, the 2010 Winter Olympics from Vancouver aired, and I saw a lot of my inline skating friends, teammates, competitors made the switch over to ice skating. Saw them walking in opening ceremonies, racing, winning medals, and I kind of had a change of heart at that point. Once I graduated, I decided I was no longer going to pursue basketball. I was going to pack up and move to Salt Lake City to try ice speed skating for the first time and, live out yet another childhood dream of being an Olympian. So in the summer of 2010, I packed my stuff up, moved out here to Salt Lake City, and tried ice skating for the first time.
And what was the transition from inline to ice skating? Like, what's the difference? What was the challenge?
The biggest difference is honestly on inline skates, you're on wheels and you're just kind of on top of the surface on the asphalt or the wood if you're skating in a rink. And in ice skating, you're on a blade and that blade is in the ice. So the pressure on your legs and on your body is so much more intense because you're not able to kind of relax and take some easy strokes if you let your pressure out of the ice. You will be on a flat surface and you will be sliding all over the ice. So yeah, the biggest difference would be you're actually inside of the surface that you're skating on.
Wow. So you must have fell down a few times going from the on that ice, you know.
I don't think I've really fell. I definitely took it a little bit cautious at first until I got the hang of it. But I will say I picked it up very quickly. And I think I have to attribute that to playing, like I said, every sport under the sun growing up and being on skates for, 15 years of my life. Although it's a different sport, I was very, very comfortable on skates. So I got the hang of it pretty quickly. And it was wild because after one season on the ice, I got an invitation to be on the US national team and have been on the US national team ever since.
Yeah, they say the pro coaches say the athletes that did many different sports before they chose one sport to go pro do better than the ones that tried to do one sport their whole entire high school or as a kid.
100%. I couldn't agree with that more. And sometimes I am able to speak to some different parents. We'll do some junior camps, and a lot of the parents have questions. And that's one of the things I stress to the parents more than literally anything else speed skating related. The one of the most grateful things I have is that my parents put me in every single sport. They let me figure it out and allowed me to continue playing all of these sports until, of course, there comes a time where you have to start to narrow in. But I played everything I could until I absolutely had to start specializing in something.
Did you ever ride a horse?
Embarrassingly enough, coming from horse country in Ocala, I must have grown up on the other side of town because I did
You
not
were on the other
ride a
fence, the other side
horse.
of the fence.
All right, Miss Brittany, when you come back, we're getting you on a horse, okay?
I would love that. I would love that.
So, how many Olympics have you gone to, and is this truly going to be your last?
I've been to three Olympic Games. 2014 was in Sochi. 2018, Pyeongchang, and 2022 in Beijing. And this will be my last Olympics, 2026 in Milan, Italy.
There you go.
And what is the age that most speed skaters hang it up?
It's across the board. The life of the athlete in our sport it is a longer than some other sports, in part because we're a non-contact sport, so you save the body a little bit there, but you are in a really tough, unnatural, human position. A 90-degree knee bend, your hips tucked under, and you're moving laterally versus a normal front to backward motion. But I would say Some people would retire in their 20s, some people in their 30s. I must admit, I will be one of the older ones in this Olympic Games for sure. There's not many. I'll be turning 38 at the end of the Olympics, and I think it's fair to say I'll be the oldest speed skater there.
The Tom Brady of speed skating, the LeBron James, the Phil Mickelson, all those guys that are older, they've been doing really well because they've taken care of themselves.
And are we going to make the last one gold?
That's the plan.
Yay.
That's the plan. Hey, I wouldn't still be sitting here putting my body through it if the goal wasn't gold.
Well, it's a good thing I'm not out there because I would make that a contact sport to get the gold.
Yeah, but it would be contact on you and the ice. Nothing, no one else would get
I would take the whole ice and everyone should just fine. All right, so let's get a little bit more. Well, actually, before we get to some questions so people get to know you, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your accolades, about how well you did in these Olympics or the World Championships, so they can get a grasp on your success.
Yeah, so I am a two-time Olympic medalist, a six-time world champion, current world record holder in the 1,000 meter, and yeah, still going for that pinnacle of the of Olympic gold. But I've been able to accomplish almost everything and some that I've set out to do in this sport, and so grateful that I've been able to have such a long, consistent, successful career. So yeah, really blessed for sure.
How many medals? What kind? Silver, bronze.
Two Olympic bronze medals.
Okay. Good. And
I would
end it with
say
a
so.
gold.
End it with a gold. I've got two dirty golds. I gotta shine this one up and turn that bronze into gold this time.
There you go. I like that. I like that. So at 37, I hope it's okay that I say your age.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just
yeah.
want to make sure
We.
because my girlfriend doesn't like me to talk about age too much. What's
Hey, it is what it is. Every single stat about me's got to be out there on the internet, so I have to just embrace
There you
it.
go. So preparing for one more run here. What's driving you to go for one more Olympics at age 37?
I think just the fuel to be the best. I am so competitive, and that competitive nature is what drives me. It's what fuels me, and love it or hate it, I am addicted to winning. That is my drug. There's nothing, more satisfying, and it's kind of a shallow comment to make because the feeling is very, very shortly lived, but that feeling of winning and having accomplished that ultimate goal is, a really, really special feeling that you try to keep hitting time after time. So yeah, just the hunger to, still going after that Olympic gold medal. And yeah, I would say that's what fuels me.
So, because it's called In the Zone, describe what that means to you when you're getting on the ice to race.
So when I am in the zone, the preparation is done. And when I step to the line, in my most successful and near perfect races, I don't hear anything. I don't see anything other than what's directly ahead of me. And it's funny, in our sport, the coach is on the backstretch. He is on the ice holding a lap board with our lap time or our splits from lap to lap. And I don't even see him. I don't see the lap board. I don't hear him. So when I am in the zone, everything just kind of fades away and I am completely locked in.
Well, Pete, man, that's just like pure gold right there. That's not the metal kind, but the mindset kind. So that's really great to do to kind of channel all that out, especially the self-doubt or fear sometimes that some people have. You've been able to focus on that. But just a quick question, because I always like to talk to someone that's done this a couple of times. What's your biggest difference in how you approach this game compared to how you approach the first one? What have you learned?
Wow, every Olympic experience has been so different. And when you ask that question, I just kind of want to go through each of my Olympic games because the expectation and the way that I have pr approached them has been very different, and I've learned a lot from each. So going into the 2014 Olympic Games, just a few months before that, I set my first world record in the 1,000 meters. So I am going into the Olympic Games as a medal contender and, as a favorite to win. So, I'm in the moment, but the expectation is just you're going there to win. You're going there to win a medal. Well, long story short, I fell far short of that, and I don't even think I finished in the top five. It was the most disappointing experience of my athletic career, and I was so set on that outcome, like winning. And that was, I mean, it was debilitating. The pressure, the stress, the expectation, and I would say it was, just coming from myself internally. Of course, everybody else wants to see me win, but I don't have that kind of pressure coming from outside. Fast forward to 2018, about a year and a half before the Winter Olympics, I had an injury that could have been career ending. I had a concussion that put me out of the season for the entire year. The race season leading into the Olympic Games. And there were times where I didn't know if I would be able to skate again, if I would be able to race at a really high level. Went through months and months of different rehab for post-concussion syndrome and then also for the mental game of that. So going into 2018, I was just thankful and grateful to have the opportunity to do what I loved to do. There was no expectation. Of course, I wanted to win. I'm a competitor and I'm an athlete, but the mindset was, grateful for the opportunity versus expecting to come home with hardware. And to date, that is my best Olympic Games so far. I finished with a bronze medal, two fourths and a fifth place. So it was a heartbreaker being that close, but just going in with that different mindset set me up for really great success. Then we go to the next Olympic Games 22 in Beijing. And I can kind of take from both of these experiences because I'm back on my horse going fast. And so really just trying to balance that, like, okay, I'm going for a medal, but also, okay, let's just keep perspective and we're grateful to be here. We get to do what we love every day. And came home with another Olympic bronze medal. So that was really successful. And then here we are going into 2026, and it's, my last run at the Olympics, and I am really, really enjoying the process, really, really trying to stay present in the moment and focusing on my preparation. And then when it's go time, I've got nothing to lose.
And I believe this is going to be your most successful one for that mindset alone, because that inner pressure that you put yourself into tightens you up. Your breathing becomes less. Your muscles start to get it. But now you got nothing. This is it, man. This is it. And you're just going to have fun and enjoy the moment and be present. So, Pete, I'm looking for it. I'm really
Hey, I
focused.
got somebody to cheer for when I watch
Now,
it. Hey, I
I
know
will
her.
say, I will say, going into this Olympics, what makes it even more special is having gone through Beijing in 2022 with no fans, no family, no friends in the stands because we're still in those crazy COVID times then. So, winning that bronze medal was a dream come true, but at the same time, it felt kind of empty because I realize I'm doing this a lot more for, it's so much more than just for myself.
You
It's
just
being
said
able to
you don't
look.
see, you just said you don't see anybody when you start, so.
Yeah, but yeah, absolutely, don't see anything. But the second you cross the line, you look up, and then, I mean, everything, the noise, the victory, the cheering, you see where your family's sitting in the stands. Like that feeling is that that overwhelming feeling of ecstasy that you just cannot repeat. So, doing great in my race, finishing, seeing a third bronze medal, looking up and not seeing familiar faces and family. It's like, it's not everything you would have hoped it to be. And it really makes you realize that you're doing it for a lot more people than just yourself.
I mean, Pete, imagine when you win a medal, you're here in USA, USA, and then over there in Beijing, it's cricket, cricket. No one's in the stands. So it's just like, don't forget to turn off the lights. So the kind of that feeling.
It was an odd experience, that's for sure.
I heard about that before. Go ahead.
So when I teach my students, I always say I don't give out cheat codes, meaning I can't show you the easy way to do this with this horse. You have to put the time in, and that's what gets you to get further along. Do you agree with that statement, and how do you prepare for an Olympic Games?
There is absolutely no cheat code. There is no cheat code. I would say, a blessing would be having an inner desire to succeed, an inner desire to chase greatness. And that could be a cheat code that, maybe you are or are not born with. I don't know. But there's definitely no cheat code when it comes to preparation. It is putting the hours, the repetitions. We really break it down from the beginning, and we go, back to the basics at the beginning of the year. Because if you don't have that strong fundamental base, you can't, you can't just skip to that high performance level. You really have to, work hard at that meat and potatoes, if you want to call it, because it's not going to just happen overnight. It's way too hard.
This will be powerful for, because there's a lot of equestrians out there that just want to show. They don't want to put the time in to get their horse supple and relaxed and connected. They just want to go out there and get the blue ribbon. So I
Don't
love
we all? If it were that easy, more people would be doing
There you go.
it.
So, Brittany, what have you learned about discipline versus motivation through your years as an Olympian?
Discipline versus motivation. Discipline, I think, is having the focus to do the things that aren't fun, to do the little things, to do those fundamental technical pieces, to put in for our sport, to put in the long hours on the bike. Discipline is doing the things that aren't fun. Motivation is what drives you. I am motivated to achieve greatness, and having that goal, and that thought, of being able to like paint this perfect picture, that's, a motivating factor.
And what sacrifices have you made to have that chance to go to the Olympics? Because a lot of people want, I hear a lot of questions wanting to go Olympics, and then I go, you couldn't give up what you have to give up. So what did you have to give up to get to that place?
It's interesting because I don't look at it necessarily at as sacrifices, because everything that I have chosen to do has been just that. It's been by choice, and some may think it's harder than others. But if you want to put it just into plain and simple context, I move away from my family and my friends in Florida, born and raised in Florida, and I move out here to Utah. I guess you could say you sacrifice to, not stay up late and not do this, not do that. But to me, that's, those are easy choices. If you have the discipline, if you have the motivation, those become very, very easy choices on, your road to greatness.
I love this. The more we do this, the deeper we get into. We haven't had some, we've had similar answers, but you added just another answer that we've never had. So this is great.
Well, I never went to the prom because we had tennis tournaments or whatever. People were saying you never went to the prom because no one wanted to go with you.
Now, I will say I have to rewind because I always went to like my prom and homecomings, and when I, there's a time and a place, but for kids, if you're able to make it work, for me, those are just like really fun experiences as a kid that like if you're able to make it work, like those are core memories. And so for me, it's like you show up and you work hard and you dedicate 100, but there's only one prom or maybe one homecoming, so I wouldn't shy too far away from doing things when you're a kid and you have the flexibility to do so.
So, Brittany, I got a fun question for you here then. If you could talk to that 10-year-old Brittany just lacing up her first pair of skates, what would you tell her?
I would say that you are on track to do whatever you want to do. You have what it takes inside of you. You have faith, you have belief, and you have the strength. And growing up, both of my parents were models of that. And being able to, see them do, whatever they wanted to do, both coaches, both educators, the respect that they drew from people. I would just tell myself that, do exactly what you want to do because everything that you're going to do is going to put you on the path that you want to be on.
So, did you have self-doubt back then? And do you still have it if you did?
Growing up, I can't, of course there might be things, setbacks, but I had a lot of belief in myself growing up, and I would say I felt like I really had my head on my shoulders, and there was nothing getting in the way between me and what I was set out to do. And I have to tell you, as I've gotten older and I referenced my, what could have been a career-ending head injury, that was, I think I was 28, 29, 2016, so a year and a half before the Olympics. That was the first time in my life that I felt like I did not have this head on my shoulders. I was engulfed with panic attacks, anxiety attacks, to the point where I couldn't, go to a grocery store because the aisles of cereal were too stimulating for me, and it would cause, this anxiety attack. Couldn't go out to a restaurant to eat because all the noise that you can, the average person can filter out, it was just loud, loud, loud. And from that moment on, I had to fight through more self-doubt than confidence than I thought I would ever have to in my life. The mental preparation has always been the easy part for me, and then all of a sudden it wasn't.
And then what strategies or medical help got you to get it back?
Yep, so I worked with some sports psychologist, a psychiatrist, a hypnotherapist. I actually do a lot of hypnotherapy work, a lot of visualization, a lot of breath work. And I also at that time found yoga. And somebody, really, somebody said, hey, just, go try this. And for like the first time in a really long time, I was able to find and sync my breath with my body movements. I was able to find a place on my yoga mat that I was able to be vulnerable but also strong. Like growing up in sports, historically, it's, no, you can't be mentally weak. You have to be mentally tough. There, you don't show signs of weakness. And for me, after my head injury, I did not start to heal until I could admit that I was not okay and I needed help.
That's key. I was going to ask, because I know that you've had faced injuries, setbacks, and grinds, and I was kind of curious about what was the toughest mental battle and how did you overcome it. But that's it right there. So I'm not going to ask that question unless you could add a little bit more to that.
Yeah, I mean, just admitting that I wasn't okay, then people could help me. US speed skating put me in contact with some of the best doctors and therapists in Colorado, where the US Olympic and Paralympic Committee is based. And I was surrounded with a team, an army of people that just wanted to help. So all I needed to do was to ask for it.
Did this happen on the ice?
Yeah, during a training.
Okay. So that's another aspect on it. Just like if somebody gets bucked off a horse, you now have, I got to get back on the horse. I got to get back on the ice. It's not just getting over yourself. It's also, I got to face the fear to get back on the ice. Where if you got in a car accident, it would be more about getting back into a vehicle.
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, we are traveling at some really high speeds, and
How fast?
For the girls, we probably are going mid 30s, and so to go around a pretty tight turn at 30 miles an hour, self-propelled, you're pulling some G forces there. So yeah, there I would say for sure, fear and doubt do creep in your mind. And it's actually interesting. It's making me think, because we do some different book club stuff with our team, and we have some younger kids on the team. And so I'm the old lady or the veteran on the team. And one of them was like, well, like the more success you have, the easier it gets, and kind of directed this question at me. And I was like, you know what? Like, that couldn't be further from the truth, because the more success you have, the expectation is you win or it's a bust. So the pressure continues to build, and then maybe you have an off race or you don't win, and then you're like, oh my gosh, do I still have it? So I would say the more success I've had, the more mental work I've had to do controlling these thoughts that come and go.
So, Brittany, what's a typical day in life look like for you right now, since we're talking about this? From morning mindset to recovery at night, what are you doing that you've learned through the years now that's dialing you in?
So, yep, wake up. I train 5 days a week. And in the morning, I will typically go down stairs and lay on my Beamer mat. Not a plug to Beamer, but I do lay on my Beamer mat and do my 8 minute session. And during that 8 minute session, I just focus on my breathing and some visualization of what I want to do on ice, because we typically skate in the morning. So then I'll go to practice, have a great practice, come home for lunch, typically go back for another session that would consist of a bike ride or weights. And depending on the day, in the evening, I will either do a hyperbaric chamber, I will either go to the sauna, I will do a hot cold bath contrast, and then I finish the evening with my 8 minute Beamer session again, doing some breath work, some more visualization. And then from there, I really just I call it a night, because sometimes, especially during when competition starts to roll around, when you get into bed, your mind wants to go to replaying, or visualizing what that's going to be. But because I've already put the time in the morning, I've put the time in the afternoon or early evening, I'm able to just say, hey, you know what? We're not going there right now. We've already done our visualization. We've already thought about how we want to have a perfect race, and right now it's time for rest.
Makes sense.
All right, let's get into some fun. If your skates could talk, what would they say about your journey? And what song would they play?
Oh my gosh, if my skates could talk. Funny enough, this is my 16th season on ice, and I've only gone through two pairs of skates. So they have really, really seen it all. But gosh, what would they say? I don't know. They would say, I don't know. I think they'd be like, thanks for taking me along this amazing ride.
Wow. And then what song would it be? What would be your
Yeah.
opening song if you're a wrestler, if they did wrestling? Happy Gilmore, Speed Skating,
or Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run.
Oh my gosh. I think it'd have to be American Woman. I don't know what it's called,
go.
but yeah.
That's a good one. That beats a Swiftie song, so that's
That's
pretty good.
right. So when did you realize fast was your superpower?
Ooh, I guess from a really early age. Because when I laced up my inline skates for the first time, I had a need for speed. But a memory that's coming to my mind is on ice. 3 years after I touch ice for the very first time, I set a world record in the 1,000 meter. And it was from that point on that I felt like speed was my superpower, and I had a place in the sport of speed skating.
That's great. You live life at a world record speed, Brittany. What's the one thing you've learned to slow down for?
My mind. If your mind is going a million miles an hour, your body can't keep up with that. So I would say my mind and my breath are two things that I actively try to slow down.
If the next generation of girls in Ocala is watching, what three words do you want them to remember from you?
Wow, 3 words, that's tough.
Is how we get good answers.
Yeah. Inspire, strength, and determination.
You're solid. I like that. I like that. All right. Finish this sentence, Brittany. Being an Olympian doesn't mean I'm perfect, it means I'm blank.
Driven.
That's good.
What's the coolest message or gift you re received from a fan? Because I have those stories too where I've had students come up to me and go, "Oh my gosh, you changed my life." And I said, "Oh, really?" And I don't recognize them because I've seen so many people. And then they go, I said, "What did I say?" And they tell me, and I don't even remember it. I'm like, "Can I write that down?" So.
That's funny. Yeah, one of the coolest gifts that comes to my mind, there's this so speed skating in the Netherlands is like their national sport. I think speed skating is second probably to just soccer. And so the Dutch fans are absolutely crazy. And there's an older gentleman that has followed my career and makes it a point to come say hi and congratulate me. And now I just refer to him as Grandpa. My very first world championship gold medal, I won in the Netherlands. And the next year I came back, he had a custom pair of wooden shoes that he painted because in the Netherlands, you know, the Dutch are known for their wooden shoes. So yeah, he had a pair of, you know, authentic Dutch wooden shoes, custom painted with world champion on the side of them. And yeah, those are something that I still have and will definitely keep forever.
So real quickly, what is your favorite pre do we already do this pre-race pump song, pump song?
No, we haven't.
What song pumps you up?
So I don't have just one song. I'm a Spotify girl, and I usually listen to like different radio stations on there. And one would be called Adventure Club Radio, and this is two Canadian duo guys that are basically like electronic music. So it's really kind of, you know, getting you going.
Because we've been having guests and they have their own playlists. So I was curious if you had your own playlist already. Is there
I don't,
a
you know, with AI now, there it's so smart that it'll create your own playlist based on your recent listening. So it's called Daylist now on Spotify. And I mean, it is locked in. It is scary how, like, if I were to be able to create a playlist, it does it for you. It's
right with
scary.
Would you share that playlist with viewers or listeners? You know,
Sure. Yeah. It's, yeah, for sure.
all right. We'll have to have it. Brittany Bowe's Milan goal for Milan or something like that. So,
So,
well,
do you ever sneak into rinks and surprise young kids at a skate session?
I don't think I've had the opportunity to do that. Fun fact, in the US, so I am a long track speed skater, and that's on a 400 meter oval. There are only two covered ovals in the US. One is in Salt Lake and one is in Milwaukee. And so we are really not going to, there's one of two rinks to go into. But I will say every time I come home to Ocala, I always go back to the skate rink where, I started and skate with the inline kids, and it's fun, but I think I'm aging out of that. They don't even know who I am anymore.
Well, they might after the Olympics coming up. Let's talk about that community and support and sponsorship with you. You've represented Team USA with incredible pride in the past, but as you prepare for this final Olympic journey, how important is community support for you right now?
Community support is massively important. The landscape of sponsorships and Olympic sponsorships are really, really tough. So I'm really trying to lean in on my community and asking for some support and help to make sure I have everything I need to, dot my I's, cross my T's, making sure I have everything I need leading into this final Olympic Games.
So I know that a lot of the Olympic sponsors are shifting their focus on the LA Games, the United States Games. A little bit tougher for the Winter Olympics to get that support or brands. What brands are people considering backing your road to Milan right now? Tell us how someone might want to be able to back you, support you.
Yeah, I would love to get some support from my local people back home in Ocala. Like I said, I do this for so many more people other than myself, and it's so much bigger than just myself. So to have some people from back home, being able to be on my skin suit, on my podium apparel, and really, really taking them along for the ride and being able to, directly represent them when the spotlight is on me, would be really cool.
So, how does a sponsored partnership mean to you beyond the funding? How do you represent that brand? What would you do?
Yeah, sponsorship is so much more than just, putting your name or company on my skin suit. I want it to be a partnership. I want to be able to give back. I'd love to be able to come home and, speak to, your business, the community, the schools, and be able to share my experiences, hopefully share some words of wisdom and leave everybody really inspired.
What's your lucky charm or superstition before a competition?
A lucky charm that I have, and I carry it everywhere, it stays in my backpack, is a rosary from my grandmother, who passed away many years ago now, but that's something I always have to have with me.
That's great.
That's really good. Have you ever had a training partner that drove you crazy in a good way?
Have I ever had a training partner that drives me crazy? I mean, it's such a different atmosphere now being the 37-year-old on the team that is, there's some 21, 22, 23-year-olds. So, what's cool to them was probably cool to me at one point in time, but I just have to sit back and laugh, and they all keep me young.
That's too funny. Hey, what is your go-to snack, recovery snack?
My go-to recovery snack is probably it's after my races. I usually have like a meal replacement shake. We have this company out here called USANA, and it's literally just a like a protein shake, something that's easy, quick, digestible. So that's really boring, but that would be my go-to.
So tell us, I'm just thinking about the Olympics. Tell us the first time you got to go through the opening ceremonies, how did that make you feel? Because that's what a lot of athletes always talk about, that that's a big changer in their life.
The opening ceremonies is one of the most extravagant, energetic moments that I have ever felt in my life. Going back to my first Olympic Games in Sochi, walking in to the Olympics. And actually, I mean, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it. It's being able to walk in with Team USA, like being presented to the world for the very first time is, a once in a lifetime experience that I have now got to experience a few times. And looking back on my last Olympic Games in Beijing, I was actually voted by my Team USA teammates to be the flag bearer. And I got to walk in carrying the Olympic flag alongside John Schuster. And to be able to lead, not just walk in with Team USA as we are presented to the world for the first time is something I am so proud of and hold with so much honor. Like that was beyond a dream come true.
Wow.
Now that must have been a great feeling. I can imagine that. That's
So we're gonna get to the rapid fire round, this or that. So don't
Okay.
want you to think too much. This is gonna be
Okay.
quick, fast.
Okay.
Ready?
I
Long
think
track or short track?
long track.
Florida heat or winter chill?
Florida heat.
Early morning practice or late night recovery?
Early morning practice.
I'm going to say dogs or cats.
Cats.
Country music or hip hop?
Hip hop.
Sauna or ice bath?
Sauna.
Gold medal or world record?
Gold medal.
I think she's doing well. I think we're pretty good right here, my friend. Is there anything more you would like to add for the community to know how they can support you, how they can cheer you on before we end our podcast today?
Now I'm just, so thankful to be a proud Ocala native. Yes, looking out for support as I enter my last Olympic Games. I want to make sure I have access to, all the best training, travel, recovery, nutrition. And really want to spend my resources on that stuff and give myself the best shot to come home with a gold medal. Do you ask gold medal or Olympic record or world record? Records are meant to be broken, but those medals will last a lifetime. So that's what I'm in the pursuit of.
So I know a Canadian Paralympic and they get money. You guys, do you get money from the US or is this all
Yep,
sponsored?
so something that's pretty unique. The US is one of the only countries in the world where the Olympic team is not funded by the government. And the Canadian Olympic teams are funded by the government. So we don't have that luxury, so to speak. We get a small living stipend from the US Olympic and Paralympic Committee based on some past performances. But it's barely enough to make it by, let alone trying to, surround yourself with all the best resources. So yeah, it's a minimal amount. I will say, speed skaters here, we don't do it for the money. We do it for the love of the game. That's for sure.
I was going to have a one more little talks right here because I think they're kind of fun. Just out of curiosity, if you've had some incredible Olympic moments, Brittany, what was one behind the scenes story fans never saw on TV?
Well, I get the one of the craziest thing is behind the scenes in Beijing. Like I said, we're in COVID times. We land at the airport. It is ghost town. There are no other citizens in the airport, and there are just people in full hazmat suits. Like nobody wanted to touch or see anyone. So all of the employees that worked the Beijing Olympic Games, from the airport to the dining halls to people in and out of the rink that I don't think people saw on TV, everyone was kitted out in these huge white hazmat suits. And it was like the most bizarre thing. We're there for almost 3 weeks, so people are coming into your rooms cleaning. There would be, four full hazmat suited people coming in. So that's one of the most bizarre behind the scenes things that I think is worth mentioning.
And who's the biggest prankster on Team USA?
The biggest prankster on Team USA? Maybe one of my teammates, a younger kid, Austin. He's just he, I don't know, he's so full of life and loves to make people smile and laugh. So it's
Is he on
always
this team
nice.
now? Is he on this team now or
He's on
past?
the team now.
All right. I'd be curious to see what he kind of does there. All right. If Team USA had a talent show, Brittany, what would be your act?
Other than my sport.
Yes.
Maybe people that don't know I played basketball, maybe I could do like this rapid fire ball handling skills or something.
You turn the ball on your finger?
A little bit.
A little bit.
You don't do that
That's too much. All righty. So, real quickly, if you're not training, what's your happy place back home in a calendar?
in the kayak on the river. That's for sure. Rainbow River, Crystal River, Silver Springs. That's where you will see me for sure.
All right. Well, Brittany, you've got us fired up. Your mindset is contagious. Thank you for reminding us that the pursuit of greatness has no expiration date.
You're a true example of what it means to live in the zone, not just chasing medals, Brittany, but inspiring hearts. Everyone's listening. Go follow Brittany, support her journey, and let's rally behind her for the road to Milan.
For all of our listeners, remember, greatness isn't just about what you achieve, it's about how you hustle, how you grow, and how you finish. Until the next time, stay in the zone.
Thank you, Miss Brittany.
Thanks, guys. Awesome.
That's a wrap on another powerful episode of In the Zone with Ian Robb and Dancin' Pete Rota. Whether you ride, compete, or simply love your animals like family, today's episode was a reminder that true teamwork starts with connection and that health is the ultimate performance edge. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave us a review. And catch us next time as we dive deeper into the mind, body, and bold journeys of top performers. Until then, stay focused, stay inspired, and keep riding in the zone.